practices also represent a deep, invaluable repository of knowledge. We need to re-examine and represent them for a new management age. We need to preserve and, in some cases, repackage the wisdom. That is the aim of this book. Introduction. Over the past 25 years, leaders in both private and public sectors have spent billions of dollars implementing a range of management tools and practices in their efforts to improve performance. But the evidence of success on the ground is thin. In 1995, Harvard professor John Cotter published research indicating that only 30% of change programs succeed. In 2008, a McKinsey & Company survey came up with exactly the same percentage. It seems that change initiatives have continued to have minimal impact. Why is it that tools such as the balanced scorecard, benchmarking, and customer relationship management, which the management consulting industry trumpeted so loudly, have not had the impact their sponsors proclaimed? Many of the answers lie in ineffective leadership, lack of commitment, and poor implementation. But other, less obvious answers relate to how managers implement and use tools and practices. Most tools and practices suffer from poor practice. And having absorbed huge amounts of management time and expense, companies abandon many tools as the consultants move out and the internal project champions move on. Abortive tools and systems are a major source of management frustration, added complexity, and wasted time and cost. Too many organizations rush into buying and implementing tools without first considering the fundamental question: which problem are we trying to solve? Framing and answering this question would avoid many expensive mistakes. Peter Drucker put it this way: I was taught that you make a diagnosis before you operate, and 9 times out of 10, when you make the diagnosis, you don't operate. We have spent the past 15 years examining the management practices of many large organizations. We have written many books, articles, and case reports, and conducted numerous interviews, trying to make sense of what works and what doesn't. Our conclusion is that in an increasingly turbulent world, companies can best use tools and practices to engage and empower frontline teams who work in the value zone between the organization and the customer, rather than to command and control them. In other words, organizations that base their management models on empower and adapt rather than command and control have greater long-term success. The reasons are not hard to find. Management models based on empower and adapt operate with less bureaucracy, smaller back offices, fewer people, self-managed teams, and fewer top-down controls. Information is integrated in the work. The result is lower costs, more flexibility, and more satisfied employees, customers, and shareholders. The purpose of this book is to critically review a wide range of management tools and practices and provide a number of guidelines that will help leaders select the right ones, implement them in the right way, and gain maximum value from their use. Selection of tools and practices. According to a recent survey of 25 management tools and practices containing 1,430 responses from a range of organizations across every industry and region of the world, the average global usage is 34%, though among large companies over $2 billion, the usage rises to 40%. The highest regional user is North America, 51%, with Asia-Pacific second, 35%, Europe third, 34%, and Latin America fourth, 25%. However, these figures increased dramatically when respondents were asked what tools they expect to use over the next few years. Some tools are consistently popular. Benchmarking, 76%, strategic planning, 67%, and mission statements, 65%, for example, have remained in the top 5 throughout the period.